Today she is Masechta Pesachim Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. At the end of the previous year, we discussed the various menhagim of the Anshei Yerichai. And one of the menhagim that we discussed was that they took peyah from all sorts of vegetables. And the Gemara discussed from which types of vegetables one does take peyah, for which types of produce we don't take peyah. So the Gemara begins, Tana Rabbanan B'Rishayna, before they protested at the behavior of the Anshei Yerichai, they would take peyah from turnips, elkruv, and cabbage. That's the opinion of Tana Kamma. We're going to learn two brises with different opinions, what is and what isn't obligated in peyah, and try to understand what are all the different opinions. So the Tana Kamma's simple pshat holds that they took peyah from turnips and cabbage, and Rabbi Yosef afla kaflut leek. The Tanya idach, but there's a different brisa that says how you nois the peyah lelefes ul kaflut, that they took peyah from turnips and leek, and Rav Shimon Omer afla kruv, that they took peyah from cabbage. So the Gemara assumes at this point, neima telosa tanoi havi, that there are three opinions in the halacha. The Tana Kamma of the first brisa holds that they took lefes and kruv. The Tana Kamma of the second brisa holds they did lefes and kaflut, and the Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, holds that they did all three, kruv, lefes, and kaflut. So we have a three-way, so when we combine these two brises, the Gemara is saying, by combining these two brises, ostensibly, we have three different opinions. Says the Marloi, that's not the way to learn. Trei tanoi hava, there's really only two opinions. Tana Kamma, Rabbi Shimon, the Tana Kamma that's quoted in the second brisa is really the same as Rabbi Yosi in the first brisa. The Tana Kamma de Rabbi Yosi, and on the other hand, the Tana Kamma who's quoted in the first brisa, Hainu Rav Shimon, really holds like Rav Shimon. And according to this, there's only two opinions. Rabbi Yosi holds that we take peyah from lefes and kaflut, and Rav Shimon holds we take peyah from lefes and kruv. Umay af. But when we learned both of the brises that we began today's shiur with, the Gemara used the word af, which seems to be saying that they're not just saying that each one of the Tana Kammas and both of the brises said that there's one, that there are two vegetables from which we take peyah, and they seemingly added a third. The way we're learning now, they only hold that there are two vegetables also. Ask the Gemara, my af. The way we're learning now, how do we understand what the af means? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, a kamaisa. They're coming to take that each Tana, Kamma, spoke about one type of vegetables. The Tana Kamma said the lefis is chayiv and peyah. And then they added a second min. And what happens in each brisa, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon say, what you, the Tana Kamma, hold is the second type of the vegetable. For example, in the first brisa, the Tana Kamma said, lefes and kruv. Comes Rabbi Yosi and says, take out kruv and put in kaflut instead. In the second brisa, the Tana Kamma said, lefes and kaflut. And comes along Rabbi Shimon and take out kaflut and put in lefes. So when they say af, it's not to add a third type, it's to substitute that the second type that was mentioned by each one of these tanoim should be replaced with something else. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, a continuation of discussion of the chiyuv peyah of vegetables. Says the Rabbi Ben Bahayan, Nosan Peyah Liyarek, Ben Bahayan gave pay in a vegetable field, or bar aviv, and his father, matzlanim shayatun and yerek, and he saw that the poor people who are entitled to payah were taking out the payah from the field. Amalehem, so he told them, Banei Shlechem Aleichem, please dispose of this, because as we've learned, if you take payah from a place where there is no chiyuv payah, you're going to end up not giving ma'aser. And obviously, you're chayv a ma'aser, v'ani noisel lechem keflayim b'musar. And he promised them that they wouldn't lose anything. He'll replace whatever they took with produce that was properly gemaised. Loi neshen etzara. And he said, I'm not saying this to you because I'm selfish, I'm stingy, I don't want you to have this payah. Chazal said that you're not supposed to give payah to vegetables. The wrong thing was done here by payah being taken from vegetables. I want to correct it. So, Taisvis Devei Maska, Ella asks a question. At the end of the day, when you take payah, it becomes hefker. So, even if the hilchos payah do not apply, because he shouldn't have taken the payah, the son of Bahayin, still, once he took payah, it became hefker. So why does he have to give it back and take maisa from it? So Tosfos answers that our Gemara follows the opinion of Beis Hillel. There's machloikus throughout Shas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai regarding hefker. When something is hefker ladniim v'loy lashirim, if you only make it hefker for poor people, is it halachically considered a proper hefker? Which is the case of payah, because payah is only designated for poor people. Beis Hillel's opinion is that hefker ladniim v'loy lashirim, that if you only made it hefker for poor people, not for ashirim, that means it's not hefker for everyone. And since it's not hefker for everyone, it's not considered a proper hefker. Beis Shammai says, here's a situation where Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai also, hefker laniyim alone is a valid hefker. But according to Beis Hillel, this wasn't a valid hefker. And since it wasn't a valid hefker, now we can understand very well why Tosfos' question, isn't this hefker, falls away. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests, which would explain even Beis Shammai's opinion, is that a hefker betos, a hefker made an error, is not considered a valid hefker. And this was a hefker betos. It was a mistake, because Ben Bahayan taking these produce as hefker was the wrong thing to do. They weren't really supposed to be payah. And therefore, even Beis Shammai would agree that it's not a valid hefker. So ask the Gemara, Lamalul Metruhu, why was it necessary for Bahayan to make this speech? Loib Nesha and Itzara, not because I'm stingy. Answers the Gemara, Kehechu de Loi Lemru, the Chuyim Matchalan. He was concerned that the poor people who had already received the payah would say, he really has no intention to give us to replace what we're losing. His entire intention is just to get back what we deserve, to get back his produce that from which payah shouldn't have been taken. So he wanted to assure them that he had the best intentions. He only had the best intention. From here we see that the Meiri points out how sensitive we must be to the feelings of Daniim. Truthfully, he was right. They weren't mechuyev in this. There was no right to take this payah. But since these poor people had already received it, he wanted to make sure that they shouldn't have any loss. He wanted to make sure that they shouldn't feel bad. And therefore, he assured them that they have nothing to do. I saw another pshat, that the truth is, that Dvar Yeshua points this out, that what Hayan's son did was completely wrong, as we keep on explaining. There was no chiyuv payah. And therefore, Bar Bahayan had every right to claim that what they got was received in error. And therefore, he could take it back. It was received in error. And that's why he wanted to assure them that even though they should not have received what they received, he wasn't going to take it away from them. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Brishayna ha yimenichen oiris kotshim beliskus beis haparva. In the Beis HaMikdash, because we just learned, we're going to learn, that the people of Yericho did something improper when it came to being magdish the trees, that not only that they took the branches from themselves, and we're going to speak soon about what happened with those branches. So the Gemara mentions other places where people in the Beis HaMikdash took something which shouldn't have been taken. We know the halacha is that when somebody brings a carbon which is in the category of kotchi kotchim, a carbon chatos, a carbon oila, the iris, the hides of those carbonis, go to the kahanim. So originally, every day, the carbonis that were brought for oila, chatos, osham, were put in the Lishkus Beis HaParva. There was a room in the Beis HaMikdash that was called the Lishkus Beis HaParva, as the Gemara Masechta the Yuma explains, the Mishnah Masechta Midas explains, that it was built by an individual who was actually a Mechashif, and his name was Parva. Some explained that what was the history of Parva. Tosfos the Ramaskal Parva quotes this, quotes the Oruch, that Parva was very anxious to see the avoid of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that no one's allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol does his avoid. So he dug a tunnel under the Beis HaMikdash to be able to observe the Kohen doing the avoid. And the Kehanim caught him, and they caught him in this room, and that's why the room was called by his name, to remember that's the place where he was caught. Another pshat that the Tosfos Yontif suggests, that Parva comes from the word Purim, and that was the room where they used to salt the hides that they would give to the Kohanim. So every day, as they accumulated iris, they would put it into the Lishkus Beis HaParva. And in the evening, they would divide it amongst all the people of that Beis Av. We know that every week in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a different Mishmer who did the Avodah. And that Mishmer was divided. There's a Machloikus Rishonim. It was divided into six Batei Av. And on Shabbos, the entire Mishmer did the Avodah. Other Rishonim say that it was divided into seven Batei Av. And every day, that Beis Av would divide all of the iris that were collected that day. However, what happened was, the strong people of that family would take all of the iris for themselves. So they made a new rule that the iris would be divided every Friday. When the entire Mishmer was there to divide it, and therefore, since there were many people, that would prevent the Baal Yisroya from doing what they wanted to do. And then, Shaklan Ba'adadi, they divided it amongst themselves. However, says the Gemara, that didn't really work. The strong, important people in the Mishmer still took all the iris for themselves. The Balam, so the heads of each Mishmer made up a rule, Vigdishim L'Shamayim, that they were Magdish, that the iris should be Hegdish, and you can't take it from yourself. So, of course, the question is, how could you be Magdishit? The Rishonim ask, how could you be Magdishit? It's a Dovah Shaloi Bol Oilam. They didn't even get it. So, the Maram Chalava explains that the way they did it was that it was a Lei Bezdin Masna. There's a concept of Lei Bezdin Masna which can work even on a Dovah Shaloi Bol Oilam. Another teretz that he gives, which there's questions on that teretz, is that the Bailim, the owners of the carbon, as they were magdish the carbon, they would right away be say that the iris should be used for hegdish, which is sort of a difficult teretz. If the Torah says that they go to the Kohanim, how do I have a right to be magdish it for what I think I want to use it? The Miri says that given that the Kohanim, as we're just learning, were consented to what the owners did, that's why it's considered acceptable. So they said that the Iris should be Hegdish, and Hegdish will sell him, sell those Iris and take the proceeds. Says the Gemara, it didn't take a long time. The entire Beis HaMikdash was covered with gold plates. They had so much extra funds. Shehein amal ama, that each plate was the size of an amal ama, ka'ayv adinazov, by the thickness of adinazov. And as the Sfasemis explains, this practice that they were magdish, the iris, continued until they accumulated all of these gold plated. And says the Gemara L'regel, every yantif, when Klal Yisrael would come to be oil regel, Hayim Kaplan Oysam, they would take off these gold plates from the walls, or Menichna Yisrael Gaba Mala Baharabayis, they would put it on a step by that Beis HaMikdash, a step that was visible in the Azara to all the guests that had come to the Beis HaMikdash. Achi Oil Regalim Royim Shemalachta Na, that all the visitors would see what a beautiful Beis HaMikdash we have. Vein by Delam, there's nothing but beauty in that Beis HaMikdash. So, says the Gemara further. So, as we mentioned, these two Gemaras are very similar. Tana, Abishalayim, Kairish al Shikma, they had these sycamore trees, Hayabi Rechai, Vayibal Zerayas, Noit Nais of Israel, they would take them, the strong people would take them. So since they were constantly being taken away from them, on the Balam Vigdishim, the owners of these trees were magdish them, that would prevent people from taking something that didn't belong to them. Vigdishim l'shamayim. It's interesting that it is an interesting observation. Even though these people did not feel bad about taking something that didn't belong to them, at the same time, once they were magdish it, they wouldn't touch it. I need to be concerned that the people from Bises who were Kohanim Gedolim and would mistreat the people, they used to have sticks with which they would indiscriminately hit people for no reason. Another family, what they used to do is they used to speak Lashon Hara, they used to speak Rechilus, Oyli mi beis Kasrin, Oyli mi Klumosom. They used to write terrible things about other people. Oyli mi es Yishmol ben Piyochi, Oyli me Groifon. That they, again, Shehem Kahanim Gedolim, that again, these were people that acted terribly, they used to speak to the government badly about other Jews. Shame Kohanim Gedolim, or B'nayim Gizbarim. They took for themselves the job of being Kohanim Gedolim. They took for their sons the jobs of being the Gizbarim. So they took to be the administrators, and they took all the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. For Chasneim Amraklim, and their son-in-laws were the people in charge of the Beis HaMikdash funds. Bavdeim, and their servants, Chayvtim Sam B'maklis, it was a difficult situation in the base of Megdash. There were four times that the Abaskol came out in the Azara to speak about different situations, some because they were so positive and some because they were negative. Rishona, the first time there was a Baskol was in the situation of Bnei Eli, they desecrated the Heichal Hashem. So the Pashup Shat, as the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, Chav Beis, Asher Yishkvun Es HaNoshim HaTzoyves Pesach Ol Moed. And the Pasuk Pshat is that they would have relations with the various women who came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring Kabbonis. However, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and the Gemara in Masechta Yuma both explain that that's not exactly what happened, that it's not that they actually, Chas V'Shalom, had relations with Eishes Ish, but we know that when a woman has a baby, she has to bring a carbon yoledes, and kinim, birds, and what happened is that they didn't bring the kabbonis at the proper time, and that prevented from the women from going home and having relations with their husband, and that's why the pasuk says the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, it's considered as if they had relations with the women. There was another situation where it yelled, "Some mekani socher ish kfar bakoi." He was the kohen gadol. Shemechabris atzmai. He was more concerned about his own honor. Or mechawal kotcha shemayim, and he didn't treat the kotcha shemayim properly. Davakarach yadei b'shiroi. He would put gloves on his hands that he shouldn't. Hands should not get dirty from the meat and the blood of the karbonis, and then only do the avoda. And Rashi, the very maskul karach, gives two explanations what's wrong with wearing gloves. One is because it's a chatzitza. The Torah Kedoshah says regarding the avoid of the kohen god of the kohen, the lokach hakohen, that the kohen should take with his bare hands and do the avoida. Here it wasn't with his bare hands. Another pshat is that it's a bezoyin to the kachim. It's a bezoyin to the kachim that he refuses to wear gloves because he doesn't want to touch it. And another pshat is that it was yitur begodim. We've spoken many times that you're not allowed to wear extra begodim, only the begodim that the Torah tells you to wear. And he, by putting on these extra begodim, it was considered yitur begodim. And this point is very relevant in a number of areas of halacha. One is, the halacha is that one should not wear gloves when he's davening. And the Achroinim explain the why is not one not supposed to wear gloves when he's davening, because it shows that he's more concerned about his own covered than he's concerned about the covered Hashem. And just like our Gemara taught us that we have to be concerned about how you are and what you're thinking about when you're serving Hashem, when you're davening Hashem, when you're doing the avoda, so too the halacha would be here. Even though, given the three pshatim that we gave, why it was wrong for him to wear gloves, that's only one of the three reasons we gave, but that's apparently the reason that the Paiskim are most concerned with, and that's why the halacha is that one should not wear gloves when he's doing the avoda. However, I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Halicha Shlomo says that even though we just learned the Bach teaches us that we're not supposed to wear gloves when we daven, that's only under normal circumstances. But let's say one is davening in a shul where it's very cold and he's wearing gloves because his hands are cold and it's hard to daven with cold hands, then the halacha is you're allowed to wear gloves. There's another interesting question about Rav Moshe discusses this in the Shas Chus Igros Moshe Yerodeya Chel Bei Simen Tev Zayin. If you're allowed to wear gloves when you do shchita, or is there a concern of chatzitza? Is there a concern of a Zayin mitzvah? So Rav Moshe says that we find the Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph says that if somebody was wearing a glove, a sudar, and he took the dalam minim, he's yoytze the mitzvah. He says that it was Yisach Ish Kfar Bar Koi who showed a particular disrespect to the dam kachim, and therefore he did the wrong thing. But when we're shechting a carbon, when we're shechting an animal, not as a carbon, we're just shechting an animal to eat. There, the halacha is, and you don't want to get your hands dirty. There's no point of bezayin kachim, and Rav Moshe says there's no problem to wear gloves. Then, however, there's another concern, and that is we know that after the shechita, the shochet examines the lungs, and he has to have the proper sensitivity to make sure that he should feel if the lungs are indeed fine. He says if you're wearing gloves, you can't really feel that. However, the Shailos Teshuvos Torah Lishma, Shailos Teshuvos Simen Chavav, says that the halacha is that one should not wear gloves when he does shechita, not because he can't do the shechita properly. The halacha should be the same thing, the same reason, because it's showing a respect that you're happy to do the ma'aseh shechita. In fact, the Shailos Teshuvos Devarim HaKil, Chelek Hei Simen Reish Vav, says that when one marries a woman and you're putting the finger on the ring on her finger, she should not be wearing any gloves. The ring should be put directly on the finger to show that our marriage is symbolic of the close, just like a husband and wife, Baruch Hashem, have this wonderful close relationship. So too is the marriage symbolic of our close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way that's shown is that there's no chatzitza between the chasen and kala. I saw the Rebbe Tzina Rav Zatzal and the Shalos HaTshuvos Ber Moshe Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Chav Zayin held that you shouldn't wear, even when you take the Dalam Minim, there should be no chatzitza on your hand as you're taking the Dalam Minim. Again, to show the tremendous respect that we're supposed to show when we're davening, when we're doing a mitzvah, that we want that our actual hands should be touching the carbon, nothing else. And doing anything else would be improper. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Shem Shloimeh that his son, the Darkei Tshuva, brings down. He says, the Yetzer Hara tries to convince us that who are we to do Avodas Hashem? We're so involved in this world. We're so involved in the Gashmius. Who are we to do Avodas Hashem? So he explains, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Mitzvah, soon when we'll have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll all be able to relate to this again, that we should take a carbon. We should take an animal as a carbon. An animal represents Gashmius. It doesn't have the ability to really do Avodas Hashem. And yet we take this animal and we bring it as a carbon. So we too, even we feel Chas V'Shalom distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have nothing to be concerned about. And he explains, that's what the Pasuk says in Parashas V'Yikra. In Parashas V'Yikra, Adam ki yakum kem karn la'Hashem. A person is bringing a carbon. A person should bring an animal as a carbon. And from that he could realize that if I could use an animal as a carbon, I too can come closer to Hashem. And then he says, Im oila karbonoi min abakar, that he has the ability by bringing the carbon to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, that was the issue of Yitzchak Ish Kfar Bakoi. When he put the gloves, the silk, around his hand, he says that he was showing that he felt that that animal was brought as a carbon. It's still an animal. It's not here to teach us and show us how something can become uplifted in a Zavodas Hashem. And that's why the Azara said, say, you don't belong in the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody who doesn't recognize that we can get higher when we get even, we could be a behemoth, but we could come close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, say, you don't belong here because you indeed shouldn't be bringing kabbonis. Continues the Gemara. Oitzvach Azara, the Azara gave another, the Gvaskol came out and said, Sushar Meshechem Yikaz Yishmael ben Piyachi Talmidish al Pinchas, like Yishmael ben Piyachi, who was a Talmud of Pinchas, Vishamish Bekuna Gdoila, who be a Kohen Gadol. So even though Pinchas, the Mashah says, was no longer alive at that time, but what the Gemara means to say is that since he was following the lifestyle of Pinchas, we know Pinchas was a tzaddik, he who followed that type of life was called a Talmud of Pinchas. And as the Chassam Soif explains, that even though he came from a family who did not really behave properly, he was a tzaddik, and that's why he deserved a special shout-out that he's a tzaddik. And that's why all the other kahanim, we don't find that they made the special announcement. Only Hui, where there was an individual who came from a family that didn't act appropriately. They came from a family that didn't act appropriately, and he was able to raise himself up to do what's right. Therefore, he deserved the special announcement to show his greatness. The Gra has a different pshat. He says that, and that's, so Rashi says here that that was his issue, that he came from a family that didn't act appropriately. But the gross pshat is that we know that the Mishnah says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol for 80 years, Ubsoif Nasa Tzedaki, and at the end he became a Tzedaki, became an Apikiris. And this person that's being mentioned here, says the Gra, was actually Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And what was being announced is that even though the Nevuah, the Baskol, was aware that ultimately he will not act appropriately, since right now he was doing what he had to do, that's enough of a reason that he deserves to do the Kuna Gedoyla. Vaitzvach Azara, Sur Shechem Sorim Reshechem, Vikonis Yochanan Ben Nerboi, Tamidish Shalpinkoi, Vimal Kresoi, Vikachi Kachimayim, that he should eat from the Kachim. And says the Gemara, Amra Allah Al Yochanan Ben Nerboi, Shai Oichel, he used to eat by every meal, Shloish Meis Agolim, 3,000 calves, 300 calves, Vishosha Shloish Meis Garbi Yayin, he used to drink 300 barrels of wine. Not he, but that's what they serve. They used to eat for dessert these young birds. Amru, and that's what they said, as long as he was the Kohen Gadol, there was never nicer in the Beis HaMikdash, because it was all used up properly. And as Rashi explains, he constantly had so many kahanim at his table that they had so many kahanim at his table that there was never any nicer because he had so many guests that they should be able to eat. That they were all able to eat from the kabanas and avoid any nicer. Says the Gemara, my salka b'socha ishkavar koi. The Gemara just mentioned the socha ishkavar koi who acted inappropriately with wearing the gloves when he did the avoida. Says the Gemara, what's the end of that story? So says the Gemara, Amri Malka Malkus Aviyasri. The king and the queen were sitting and they were having a discussion. Malka Magadiyoi. The queen said that goat meat is better. Malkus Amra Imriyoi. And the king said that goat meat is better and the queen said that sheep meat is better. Amru, so they decided, Man Moichach. Who is the person that could tell us best what is better? Says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol. They decided that the best person to ask, to consult, would be the Kohen Gadol. The Kamasa Kabanas Koyoima. He brings Kabanas all day, so he is most familiar with animals, so he could tell us. Asiyu. So they brought Yisach Ishkvar Bakoy to ask him this question. Achve Biyadei. So he showed with his hands as if it's not a serious question, which he says, because igadi yoi, if goats were indeed better, yasla tamida. We know that every day, we're going to be speaking about it soon at the beginning of the next parak of Mitzvah Shem, we brought a carbon tamid. So if that was the better carbon, we should have brought that animal as the carbon. Amma Malka, so the king said, he treated us disrespectful. Hoyo v'lohava emsa de Malka, since he didn't have the proper fear of the king, Nifsikulimina, we're going to cut off his right hand. However, says the Gemara, Yoav Shoichet, he gave a bribery to the person, he bribed the person who was supposed to cut off his hand, and Paskil Ismali, and instead of taking off his right hand, they took off his left hand. Shama Malka, and the king heard what was done, and he was very upset. The reason he gave this bribe was obviously because the Kohen does the avoider with the right hand. He could only do the avoider with the right hand, so he wanted to preserve his right hand. But the king heard what he did, and he took off the right hand as well. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, Baruch Rachmana, Hashem should be blessed. He got punished in this world with his hands being removed. And as I saw, the Ben Yehuda explains that it was Minashmayim that he should lose both hands because he wrapped his right hand that he did the avoida with these gloves, which was disrespectful, and he put the gloves on his left hand. He would put them on with his left hand. So both hands participated in this wrong thing, and that's why both deserve to be punished. The Ben Yoyada also explains that this debate between the king and the queen was that the king agreed with the queen that sheep meat is better than goat meat. The question that he had was that sometimes maybe you could find a goat meat that's better, that's also very good. And that was what they wanted to ask the Kohen Gadol: do you ever find goat meat which is better than sheep? The Chasam Sof explains the Gemara Apidrush. He says that the debate between the king and the queen was who is more significant, the Talmud Chacham or the wealthy person? Is it a Talmud Chacham who learns the Torah himself, or is it the wealthy people who support the Talmud Chacham? And the question was Gadya, who's, we know, Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya refers to mazel. So is it the wealthy person who has good mazel that made him wealthy, or is it Imra, the Talmud Chacham, who speaks Divrei Torah? And the Yisach answered that the Talmud is the Raya. We should bring a Raya from the Kama Talmud, somebody who's consistent, the Talmud Chacham, who's learning Torah all of the time, but the wealthy person isn't doing mitzvahs all the time. That's why the Talmud Chacham is better. Another way of explaining the Gemara is the way the domestic Eliezer explains the Gemara, that they were debating if a person is fortunate in this world, what does that come from? Does it come from good mazel, or does it come because so decreed at Kodesh Baruch Hu? And they decided to ask the Kohen Gadol, and he said, Gadyoy, that what mazel is, somebody who's born with good mazel should be happier. And he said, is it Gadya or is it Imra? And of course he said, Imra. Whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, that's the person who's best. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Yisach Ishkaf HaKfayi Loitana Masnisen. He didn't even learn a Mishnah. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Krisis, Daf Chof Ches Amar Aleph, Rishim Rami Kvasim Koidim L'Izim. All over in the Torah, become Mokim, whenever the Torah speaks about sheep and goat, the Torah mentions them both, mentions the sheep before the goats. Yochel, Vnei Shim of Charim, because the goats are, maybe because sheep is better than goat. Tamaloymer, the Pasuk by Karb Mechatos, there says, Im Kevis Yavi Kabana. Melamed, here the Torah says, the goat before the sheep, to teach us, they're both equal. So the Mishnah tells us you could use either one. Not only did he not learn a Mishnah that says that they're both the same, he didn't even learn a Pasuk. Niksiv, the Pasuk regarding Chum Shlom says, Im Kevis Im Eis, the Torah says, Im Kevis Umakriv, and then the Pasuk says, Im Eis Kabanoi, to teach us, Iboy Kesev Levasei, if he wants he could bring sheep, Iboy Eis Laisei, they're both equal. And he not knowing that, that's how he made the mistake. So the Ben Ishchai asks, if he was such an Amoritz that he didn't know Psukim, Mishnayis, how was he appointed the Kohen Gadol? So he answers that of course, on the normal circumstances, Yisach Ish Kfar Bakoi was a Talmud Chacham. It was Mina Shemayim that he should get confused and not know the answer to something that was so simple to teach us that to get an Oynish Mina Shemayim. The Mefarshim also point out that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis tells us that Reb Zeresh asked Reb Yehuda, why is it that when you have goats and sheep walking together, the goats go before the sheep? So he said, because that's the way the world was created. Goats could be black, sheep are white. And therefore, first comes night, we know, Vayi Erev Yivayker. comes night and then comes day. But by kachim, we know the halacha is that night follows the day, as we've discussed previously. So therefore, even though normally goats are mentioned before sheep, because goats are black and sheep are white, night comes before day, but by kachim, where the day, where the night follows the day, that's why the halacha is, the Torah mentions typically the sheep before the goats, just in certain examples, as we just learned the Gemara, the Torah doesn't do so to teach us that you could bring both of them equally. I saw another pshat from the Sefer Kol Mevaser in discussing this machloikis between, this debate between the king and the queen, that they were debating who was considered more significant. Is somebody who was a tzaddik all his life, or somebody who was about tshuva? A bat tshuva is compared to a gadya. It's compared to a goat that jumps. This person jumped and jumped ahead in life, or is an imra, somebody who constantly was a tzaddik. And the answer is that we don't know. They both come with certain strengths. And that's why the Torah says you could use either of those korbanos, either type of animal as a korban. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants both. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants tzaddikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants Bali Tshuva. We're supposed to do both. And in fact, I saw that that was what the Kohen Gadol was trying to show. He was showing that a tzaddik is great, a Baal Tshuva is great. The main thing is that we should serve Hashem. Hadron Loch Makam Shanagu. And many say by this Hadron, V'slikuloch Pesach Rishon, that actually these are two separate Masechtas. The first part of the Masechta, as we learned, was focused mainly on the issues of Oni Chametz, Bayirah, Bayimotza. And the second part of the Masechta we're going to begin in Mitzvah Shem focuses on the Korban Pesach, as is shown here in the long Rashi that summarizes the Helchus Korban Pesach. So therefore, we will also say, Hanu Loch Makum Shenhagu, V'slikuloch Pesach Rishon.